So school is starting this week. And as the parents have already said, amen to that. So here's what we want to talk about this morning. We want to talk about some do's and don'ts for going back to school. Somebody said, well, there I go. I'm not going back to school. There's something in here for you this morning. Oh, cool. Here's a phone. I got an extra phone. This is excellent. I'm going to call myself. Oh, it must belong to a child because the brightness is not turned up on this enough for me to even be able to see it. All right, whose phone? Vivian, sit. All right, Adriana. All right, I won't make you go all the way through David's sermon without your phone. Boy, that would be torture if I couldn't have my phone all the way through the sermon. So, some do's and don'ts. Going back to school. Well, here are some that maybe your parents would tell you. First of all, do set your alarm if you are of such a person that sets your own alarm. And I would add to that, turn it up, turn it on, get it cranked up so that it wakes you up. So do set your alarm. Do take a first day of school picture tomorrow. That's something you got to do. Post it on Facebook. We want to see all of your first day of school pictures. Do have a good attitude. I know that's hard in school sometimes. That applies to the picture, by the way, too. But I know that's hard in school. Have a good attitude. Do be nice to all of your teachers. That's a good do for starting school. Do be nice to all of your teachers and do your best all year long. Do your best. Do's and don'ts. How about some don'ts? Don't be late. That's a bad thing. Don't be late. Don't run in the halls. I heard that all the way through school. Don't run in the halls. Except what did everybody do? They kept running in the halls. But this used to be a rule for us. So don't run in the halls. Don't sass the teacher. I know the teacher might sass you. Don't sass the teacher. Don't procrastinate on your homework and don't give up. Those are some pretty good do's and don'ts, I think, right? Those might be some things that your parents or your teachers might share with you, but I want to share with you some stuff out of the Bible. How about some do's and don'ts for going back to school out of the Bible? I'm sure that some of you may spend part of your high school life flirting with the guys or flirting with the girls. Some of you are pretty good at it. Some of you are learning how to try to be pretty good at it. You're trying anyway. Here's the deal when you go to school. You got to be careful who you flirt with, for sure. But don't flirt with temptation. No matter what's going to happen when you go to school, don't play with temptation. Bible tells us why. Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, throughout the New Testament, we are told when it comes to temptation, get away from it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, flee youthful lusts. What does that mean? Don't flirt with it. Don't play with these lusts and these temptations. Get away from them. Abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Don't play with temptation. Why not? Turn your Bible to James chapter 1. I want you to see what the Bible tells us about the seriousness of sin. The Bible tells us how serious it is. We put up here, don't flirt with temptation. Well, why not? The Bible tells us how serious this is. Being tempted to do wrong is not something that we say, well, it's just not that big of a deal. Does this sound like a big deal? Look in James chapter 1, starting verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. No, sir. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does God himself tempt anyone. Look at verse 14. But each one is tempted, not when God tempts him. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lusts and enticed. Temptation is when your own lust causes you to be enticed to do that which is wrong. Now look at verse 15. My desires tempt me to do wrong. What happens? Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. You let temptation come and take up residence in your life. You flirt with temptation long enough. You play with fire long enough. And what do people tell you is going to happen? You're going to get burned. You play with temptation. What does verse 15 say? Desire, when it's conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when you let it in your life and it grows up, leads to death. Where does spiritual death come from? It comes from sin. Where does sin come from? Sin comes from me letting temptation come in my life and flirting with it, saying, oh, this isn't that big of a deal. When you go back to school this week, don't flirt with temptation. But do be alert for temptation. Don't flirt with it, but you got to keep your eyes open for it. You got to see it coming. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. What does the word vigilant mean? Some translations say watchful. Be watchful. Well, what do I need to be watchful for? But that verse says, for your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When you go to school, you need to be watching out for the boys, and you need to be watching out for the girls, and you need to be watching out for the bullies, and you need to be watching out for all sorts of people. You need to be watching out for the devil. You need to be watching out for the one who's going to try to get you to do wrong. Did you know that the devil has ministers? That's the word that's used in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 15, is that he has ministers. You know the word ministers, and you don't think about the devil when you think about that, but that's the word that's used in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 15. The devil has workers. He has ministers. Verse 14 says of that chapter that the devil is able to turn himself into an angel of light. What does that mean? The devil can make himself look good. He can make himself look right. He can make what he's trying to do look so appealing. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. And when you fall for that, that's the angel of light. That's the devil dressed up as an angel of light. Verse 15 says, so no wonder his ministers can do the same thing. You need to be watching out for those who are working for the devil. They don't wear a name tag. They don't have some lanyard on that says, I work for the devil. You've got to keep your eyes open for those who are going to try to get you to do wrong. It may come at the least expected time, and it probably will. Jesus' apostles were with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. They're with Jesus. He went a little bit further away from them to pray by himself. And when he came back to them, in Matthew 26 and verse 41, Jesus said, watch. That's the word we're talking about here. Be alert. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. What do you mean? We're with you, Jesus. How could... The devil doesn't care. The devil's going to come at the most inopportune time and try to get you to do wrong. Don't flirt with temptation, but be alert to it. Watch out for those who might try to get you to do wrong. And the Bible says, flee, abstain, get away from them. What are some other do's and don'ts? How about what the Bible tells us about don't be embarrassed about your faith? Don't be embarrassed because you have faith in God. You're going to go to school. Some of you are going to go to school this week. And there's going to be a lot of people, maybe the majority of people in some of your schools, with people who do not believe in God. Don't you be ashamed. Don't you be embarrassed that you believe in God. You keep your faith strong in God. You know why? That's where that's where all of the evidence is. All of the evidence, all of the evidence that man can compile points not to evolution. They don't have any evidence on their side. Not to the Big Bang theory. Not to the fact that, oh, we're just some accident on this planet here. All of the evidence points towards your God. Why should you be embarrassed about that? Don't be embarrassed. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 says that when we see That the invisible God and his attributes are clearly seen. Underscore that in Romans 1 verse 20. Clearly seen by the things that are made. You look at the things that are made around us, and God says you can clearly see God, even his eternal power and Godhead. So much so, the end of the verse says, so that those people who don't believe, it says they are without excuse. Why don't people believe in God? They have no excuse not to believe in God. That's where all of the evidence is. Don't you be embarrassed that you believe in God. Don't you be embarrassed that you believe in Jesus. Acts 1 and verse 3, the Bible says that Jesus presented, after his resurrection, he presented himself alive by many infallible proofs. What does that mean? It was absolutely undeniable that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Don't you be embarrassed that you believe the evidence. Keep your faith in God. You keep your faith in the Bible. Don't be embarrassed that you believe that the Bible is from God. Here's a book that God has given to us, that God has given us every word in this book, and it gives us all the answers that we need to serve Him. Paul says, Romans 1 verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Would to God that every one of us will walk out of here today and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed to believe that the Bible is from God, for after all, that's where all of the evidence for it points. Go and study what there is to know about the inspiration of this book, and you will walk away not saying, well, I think it's inspired. You'll walk away overwhelmed to say there's no other explanation, no other explanation for this book existing than God gave it. Don't be embarrassed by this book having all of the answers that we need. And for sure, don't be embarrassed because of your stance for biblical morality. Some of you will go to school this week with people who could care less about the moral principles that this book enjoins upon us as Christians. They could care less about what this book says about fornication or adultery or homosexuality or abortion or on cursing or on lying. They could care less. Don't you be embarrassed that you live differently than everybody else. Don't you be embarrassed that you say, no, this book tells me how I need to live, and all of the truth about how I need to live is right here. All of the truth about biblical morality and doing right and doing wrong, it's all right here. You don't need to be embarrassed that when Colossians 3 and verse 17 says, whatever I do in word or deed, what am I going to do? I'm going to check and see if that's what this book wants me to do. I'm going to follow the Word of God and do all things by His authority. When you go, don't be embarrassed of your faith, but instead, do be an example. Sometimes you might not be embarrassed, but you might be quiet about it. Sometimes you might not be embarrassed, but you choose to hide it. Don't be embarrassed because of your faith, but instead do be an example of your faith. Let other people see, as Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, let other people see that Jesus is living in you. When they look at you, it doesn't matter what color skin they see. When they look at you, it doesn't matter if they see a boy or a girl. When they look at you, they need to see, is this somebody that's following Jesus? Is this somebody that's living differently because they've allowed the Lord to make a difference in their life? Being a Christian, this only applies to the young people, so the old people can disregard this. Being a Christian is not just a Sunday thing. Some of the old people might get that, even though I told them not to listen. Being a Christian is not just a Sunday thing. It's not just a church thing. Following Jesus is not just when I'm around church people. Your friends need to see there's something different about you. What is that thing that's different? The thing that's different is I'm trying to let Jesus live in me. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. I've put myself to death. Why? I've got Christ who's taken up residence in me. Let other people see you doing good. That's what it means to have Christ living in us. That's what it means to be an example of our faith. Let other people see you doing good. It doesn't mean that, you know, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 doesn't say shine your light. Matthew 5 and verse 6 doesn't say make sure you got new batteries in your light when you start school so you can go and shine it in everybody's face. It doesn't say shine your light. It's passive. Let your light so shine before men. What does that mean? You live your life in such a way that they will see it, but you don't have to force it in their face. How do I do that? I just do good. I go around, and in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, we noted that verse that says, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. The next verse says, but instead, let your conduct be honorable among other people so that when they observe your good works, what are they observing? I'm just being good. I'm just doing good stuff. When they observe your good works, they might glorify God. That's what we're striving for, to help other people see Jesus in us by doing good so that they might turn and serve the Lord instead. We need to let other people see that we are not ashamed to just do what's right. Have you ever heard somebody say something before about it's always right to do right? Have some of you ever heard that before? When I was a kid, I heard a preacher say that one time or 1 million times. When is it right to do right? Is it right to do right when I go to school? It's right to do right when I go to school. And there's never a time when I'm in school that I need to be ashamed of doing what's right. And then not just doing what's right, but standing up for what is right. Doing something for others when maybe nobody else in the school would do it for them. We had in that first list of things this morning about being respectful to the teacher, being nice to the teacher, even when nobody else is doing it. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Standing up for those who are doing what's right, standing up for God. Richard said in the prayer, how alarming it is today that you'll go to school tomorrow, you're allowed there, your friends are allowed there, but God is not allowed there. And we wonder what's going on in our world today. You go and you take Jesus into school tomorrow. You go, you take God into school tomorrow. You don't be ashamed of your faith when you go there tomorrow, but instead you be an example to everybody around you. Say there's something different about her, something different about him. Finally, if we talk about do's and don'ts for going back to school, don't worry about what the world wants. Too often we're concerned about what everybody else thinks. Guess what? You don't know what everybody else is thinking. You think, well, they think this. You don't know what everybody else is thinking. And even if you do, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about what the world wants. Now, we read from 1 Peter chapter 4 this morning, and you might be thinking, why do we read from 1 Peter chapter 4? We haven't even talked about it. Would you look in 1 Peter chapter 4? We're going to look at some of these verses as we mention this last point this morning. But when you go to school tomorrow, don't worry what everybody else thinks about how you're dressed. Don't worry about what everybody thinks about how you did your hair. You can do your hair real good and just get rid of it, and it'll do just fine. Don't you worry about what other people think about you. Don't worry about what they want you to do. Well, they think I ought to do this. Wait a minute. I'm not ashamed of my faith. I'm going to stand for my faith. I'm just going to do what's right. Don't worry about what they want. And so in that regard, what we're going to see in 1 Peter 4 is, don't you think it's strange when they think it's strange that you're doing right. Don't think it's strange that they think it's strange that you're different. Did you see that? Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Look in verse 4. In regard to these, and we're going to look at verse 2 and 3 in just a minute, but in verses 2 and 3, he said, stop living like the world and start living for God. That's what he says in verse 2 and 3. Stop living for the world, start living for God. And he says in verse 4, you know what? in regard to this, when you stop living for the world and you start living for God, they think it's strange. They think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation. And so what do? They speak evil of you. They look at you and they say, why aren't you doing what everybody else is doing? Why don't you talk like everybody? You don't use curse words like everybody else does. You don't sass the teacher like everybody else does. You don't do this or do that like everybody else does. And they're going to say, you're strange. And God says, they're going to say evil things about you. Drop down to verse 12, where he says, beloved, don't think it's strange concerning the fire trial, which is about to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. What's the point? Don't be surprised when other people are surprised that you're doing what's right. Don't be surprised when other people are surprised that you're different than everybody. Don't worry about what they want. Don't set up everybody else as your standard. Well, everybody else is doing it. You, first of all, you don't know that. You haven't taken a poll, all right? You haven't taken a survey. You haven't got 100% participation in your survey. But don't go down the path, well, everybody else is doing this. That's not our pattern for behavior today. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, do not be conformed to what everybody else is doing. That's a paraphrase, but that's what it says. Don't be conformed to what everybody else is doing. That's not our pattern. That's not what we're looking for. So what we need to do is we need to make sure that we choose our friends carefully. In fact, that's exactly the words from Proverbs 12 and verse 26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. To make sure that those people that we hang out with the most are the right kind of people. Those people that we hang out with the most are not going to think it's all that strange that we live differently, because they'll know who we are. We won't be hiding our Christian life from them. We will be real with our friends. And if your friends do not respect, if they do not agree, if they do not like that you believe in God, that you believe in Jesus, that you believe in the Bible, that you believe in biblical morality, that you believe in doing what's right all of the time, if your friends don't believe, if your friends don't like that, if they don't accept that, if they don't approve of that, you don't need to have them as your friends. It's more important to do the will of God than it is to have a lot of friends who will not help you to do the will of God. Don't worry about what everybody else wants. But do want what God wants. We open up our Bible, and in 1 Peter chapter 4, in verses 2 and 3, he says, would you stop being worried? Would you stop doing the will of the Gentiles? He says in verse 1, Christ suffered for us. So what should we do in verse 1? Get ourselves ready. He says, arm yourselves with the same mind. Christ suffered for doing right. What's he telling us? Get ready. Verse 2, here's what we should do. No longer live the rest of our lives doing the will of man. But do what? Focus the rest of our lives on trying to do the will of God. Figure out what does God want me to do and say, that's what I want to do. Verse 3, he says, we've spent enough of our time doing what everybody else wants us to do. And isn't that the truth today? We've spent enough of our time trying to please everybody else. We've spent enough of our time trying to do what everybody else wants us to do. What do we need to do? Let them think it's strange. Let them think it's crazy. Let them be surprised. Fine and dandy. I just want to do what God wants me to do. I want to do what makes God happy. Jesus came to this earth And of all the people who could have done anything that he wanted to do, it was Jesus. He could do anything he wanted to do. What did he choose to do in John 8 and verse 29? He chose to say, I always do those things that are pleasing to him. Our challenge to you this year is to strive to do those things that make God happy. And if that doesn't make other people happy, if they're surprised at what's happening, if they don't like the fact that you're trying to make God happy, so be it. Let them think what they want to think. Let's be more concerned about what God thinks about us than what anybody else thinks about us. Thank God. Thank God for the children in this church. Thank God for the positive influence that they can have in their schools. Thank God for the teachers in this congregation. The positive influence that they can and do and will have in their schools. And may God help us to think about some of these do's and don'ts as we start a school year. And perhaps those of us who aren't going to school, just perhaps there was something said this morning that might apply to us as well, even if we're not going to school this year. Here's the last don't. Here's the last don't in this lesson this morning. Don't miss heaven. Of all the things that you miss out on in this life, don't miss heaven. There's a lot of things in this life you might not get to do. A lot of things in this life you might miss out on because, well, you're a Christian and your parents are Christians. You think, well, I just don't get to do that. If it's not founded upon biblical morality, you don't want to do that. You don't need to do that. And so you might say, yeah, I don't get to do that. But above all things, let's live our lives in such a way that we don't miss heaven. How can I make sure that I don't miss heaven? I do need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came to this earth, lived a perfect life without a single solitary sin. He died on that cross bearing every one of my sins, that He was buried and that He was raised from the dead the third day. I do need to believe that with all of my heart. I do need to repent, turn away from sin, and I want to stop doing what's wrong. I want to stop serving the world. I just want to stop making the world happy. I want to try to make God happy. That's what repentance is. Change of mind that leads to a change of life. I do need to confess my faith in Jesus because that's what they did in the New Testament before they could become a Christian. And I do need to be baptized into Christ. I do need to be immersed to do exactly what the will of God is in my life today. In order to have my sins washed away, in order to become a part of His church, in order for Him to write my name in heaven, I've got to be baptized into Christ where the blood of Jesus will wash away my sins. Ananias said to Saul when he learned what he needed to do to become a Christian, he says, why are you waiting? Acts 22 and verse 16, arise and be baptized. What's going to happen when he did that? And wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Saul of Tarsus was not saved on the road to Damascus. He was not saved when he was there in the city praying for 3 days. When Ananias came to him and preached the gospel to him, he still wasn't saved. He had every single one of his sins. But Ananias said, you can get baptized right now. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you've never been baptized, so that at that very moment the blood of Jesus could wash away your sins, we plead with you to do it this morning. There's water here today. There's garments here today. There's warm water here. We are ready, if you are ready, to give your life to the Lord this day and then leave here today and do serve Him faithfully, remaining steadfast to Him every day of our lives, doing His will. If we can help you leave here today serving the Lord as a faithful child of God, please come right now as together we stand and sing.